Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. The Bible says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Over the last several weeks, we have been visiting Christianity 101 themes, if you will. In this summer series on our Wednesday night, we have talked about what it is to have a good reputation. From the book of Proverbs, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. We've also seen from the scripture how Christians can seek and know the Lord, practical steps that we can follow that are biblical and very practical in nature when we are wrestling in particular with knowing God's will. Last week we considered from Hebrews chapter 12 how we are to run the race of faith with patience. The author of Hebrews telling us, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And as we meet together tonight, I want to take last week's lesson and then also bring another topic into that lesson to help us run the race of faith and to help us as we seek to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so tonight I want to look at the subject of bitterness. Bitterness is something real and something that a Christian soldier battles with often. Bitterness can be a weight upon us as we seek to keep our eyes focused and fixed upon the author and finisher of our faith. Bitterness can be a sin that so easily besets us that would drag us down and take the zeal from our life as we seek to be faithful for the Lord. And so let's look at this topic tonight, and let's look at it first by considering what bitterness is. What is bitterness? Well, we begin with a definition. The Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary defines bitterness as the quality or state of being bitter. How convenient. Sharp or unpleasant in either a literal or figurative sense. And they continue to give synonyms: resentfulness, severity, deep distress, grief, or vexation of mind. Another definition is a state of extreme impiety or enmity to God. One Christian author says, quote, "Bitterness is resentful cynicism that results in an intense antagonism or hostility toward others." Another author says, "Bitterness is holding on to or showing feelings of intense animosity, resentment, or vindictiveness." Bitterness is unresolved, unforgiven anger and resentment. And when we look at this topic of bitterness through the scope of Scripture, we see that it's really cut in two. There are two sides to bitterness. There is bitterness toward God and bitterness toward others. There is a bitterness that is toward God that resides in the heart. And this bitterness comes from various circumstances that we have come across in life. And we may have a big question mark before God and say, "God, why did you allow this to happen to me?" For instance, "God, why did you allow me or my loved one to get cancer? God, why did you allow me to grow up in the family that I did? Why did you allow me to grow up with the various circumstances that I endured? God, Why did you allow my loved one to die? God, why did you allow me to have this disability or these physical weaknesses? And if we dwell on these things often, and if we dwell on them often in a wrong way, it can start producing bitterness in our hearts and souls, where we gain an animosity or a sharpness or resentfulness toward God who is love, toward the one who is merciful, the one who is all kind. So there is a bitterness toward God, and there is also bitterness toward others. Bitterness may be towards a past spouse or a current spouse. Perhaps something they said or something they did in the past that hurt you and hurt you deeply, and you are still mulling on that. You are still remembering that, and it causes feelings of anger and frustration, and it's been unresolved. Bitterness may be toward a parent or parents. Perhaps some of you have grown up in a broken home. Mother and father have separated, and it was nasty. And there's bitterness there. And you look at other families and their dynamics, and you see mother and father together, and you see children growing up with their mother and father, and it's something that you have longed for but did not receive. Bitterness may be toward family members. There are always lively discussions during Thanksgiving. Perhaps those conversations turn political. Perhaps those conversations drew toward spiritual things, and somebody said something, somebody did something that you have held on to for a long time. And bitterness may be toward a friend, an employer, a church leader, or even a church member. It's amazing, as you counsel and as you rub shoulders with Christians in churches, how many Christians leave, and they leave simply because they are bitter at something somebody said or did. And that's a key reason why people are church hoppers, I think, because they have unresolved bitterness. They refuse to go to their brother or sister in Christ and work it out. So we see first what bitterness is. We've given a definition, and we consider that there is a bitterness toward God and a bitterness toward others. Now let's also consider what bitterness leads to. Paul says here in Ephesians, let all bitterness be put away. So he is dealing with people who can grow bitter and perhaps are bitter. Now what bitterness leads to? He's warning them of a cancer that can grow in their own hearts and in the heart of the church. Bitterness can lead to the ruin of one's relationship before God. And that's the most important thing that we can consider regarding bitterness. Bitterness can lead to a fierce hatred toward God through life. And I believe many atheists are really residing or have bitterness residing in their heart. I can tell you about a young man I met in Seattle 10 years ago. And this young man came to our evangelistic booth at a carnival there at the Jefferson Community Center on Beacon Hill. And this was one of the most sour-looking young men I have ever seen and ever met. It looked like he just bit into a lemon. And he came up to our booth, and he's frantically looking back and forth at the gospel tracts and the Bibles that we have and the signs that we have portrayed to draw people in. And he's just frowning the whole time. And he comes up finally just angrily saying, "You know what? I used to be a Christian." And I said, "No, there's no such thing as used to be a Christian. You either are a Christian or you are not." And I said, "Tell me what happened." And he goes through a long story of how he was hurt by people in the church. And that caused him to look away from the Lord. That caused him to leave and never go back. And then to proclaim that he's a professed atheist. So bitterness can lead to a fierce hatred toward God through life. He has allowed that bitterness to build so much that now he's abandoning the God who made him. Bitterness can lead to the ruin of relationships with others. bitterness can lead to resentment and retaliation. Perhaps somebody's hurt you, and they've hurt you deeply. And in their hurting you, you remain silent. You play the silent game. You don't resolve it. Or perhaps you play the retaliation game. It's a tennis match, and they hurt you, so you hurt them back. And they hurt you back, and you hurt them back. And it becomes an ugly scene that no one should go through. And bitterness can lead to coldness and callousness in our relationships with others. And bitterness can lead to the destruction of self. Listen to the following quote. A rattlesnake, if cornered, will become so angry it will bite itself. That is exactly what the harboring of hate and resentment against others is. A biting of oneself. We think we are harming others and holding these spites and hates, but the deeper harm is to ourselves. Just like that man in Seattle that I met, the deeper harm was not to us. The deeper harm was to himself, his relationship with God and his relationship with others. So bitterness can bite us, poison us, destroy us. And see, that's why Paul is telling the church here to beware. Bitterness can cause a state of deep depression. And we live in a country that's popping pills for depression. We live in a country that is down, a country that is unhappy. And I wonder how much of that is because of bitterness. Situations that have happened and they don't know how to handle it biblically. And this bitterness, this anger leads up to becoming so depressed. Bitterness can also lead to pride. Bitterness can cause us to maximize the faults of others while minimizing the faults of our own. Bitterness can lead to setting up ourselves as righteous. Pride destroys. We know that. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Pride pushes God from an individual. And this is what bitterness can do. And we see under this two warnings. Number one, we must be careful not to justify our bitterness. It's very easy to do, especially in hurtful conditions, to justify our bitterness. We, those of us who have gone through hurtful things, things that I do not belittle, sometimes it's easy to have thoughts, well, I have the right to be bitter. I have endured so much pain. God knows where I'm at, and God will not hold me accountable for being angry. People say, my anger is a righteous indignation, and so I'm justified. And sometimes when people are bitter, and bitter toward God, and bitter toward others, and they're bitter in a sinful way, sometimes we coddle them. And we say, well, they had a horrible upbringing. Well, they have a right to be bitter. They went through a difficult situation. I'm not going to confront them with their sour spirit. I would have the same spirit if I went through what they went through. Again, we must never undermine the fact that others do endure great pains. People have suffered the abuse and sinful decisions of others. There are constant reminders of such pain. There is a battle that resides in the mind. There is a constant haunting of past hurt. We understand that. But at the same time, we must not dismiss man's personal responsibility. Paul doesn't say, well, you can be bitter if. No, Ephesians 4 says, put all bitterness away. So we must take full responsibility of our own sin. And sometimes we're swayed by our culture, which throws off personal responsibility and encourages everyone to look at themselves as a victim. God holds us accountable for how we live, how we respond to hurts. God is not going to excuse our disobedience to Him and our sour spirits toward others. Why? Because as believers, God has given us the gospel. God has given us His Spirit. God has given us His Word. God has given us the church. Why? To bring victory and encouragement through difficult situations. The gospel is a call out of sin. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and thus we can be saved from bitterness. We must be careful not to justify our bitterness. Now, how do we overcome bitterness? Well, you can overcome bitterness only through the Lord's help. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." It's not psychology. It's not self-help books. It's not talk radio that's going to provide the right help for our souls if we're battling bitterness. It's only the Lord. And the problem with bitterness is spiritual, not physical. So, yes, we do again conclude that there may be medication to help people with certain problems. But above that, we know the greatest help is the Lord's help. Vain is the help of man in comparison with the Lord. The Lord is the God of all comfort. He's the Almighty. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is omnipotent. He has all power. And if the Lord can save our soul, if He can deliver us from the grip of Satan himself, God can deliver us from this besetting sin. God can deliver us from bitterness. So we can only have victory over bitterness through the Lord's help. And with that, we can have victory through the Lord's help as we remember Jesus Christ. Now, go back to our text from last week, Hebrews chapter 12. Now, this is interesting. We are to run the race with patience. And we are to run the race, laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now look at verse number 3. This is not here by accident. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. The author of Hebrews knows that it's possible to quit the race of faith because of bitterness, because of what other people have done or are doing to us. And that's why he said, we look to Jesus, not to men. And in looking to Jesus, we remember that Jesus endured contradiction of sinners against himself. Now, Jesus went about doing good, living a perfect, sinless, holy life. Others called him a devil. Others said that he spoke blasphemous words. Others said he was a winebibber. They took Jesus, the perfect, holy Prince of Peace, and they crucified him. And they mocked him on the cross. And they spit in his face. And they placed a crown of thorns on his head. So as we remember Christ, we remember how to act Christ-like as we deal with bitterness. We focus our mind on Him, not people, not circumstances, but on Him. And this is a fight, and this is not easy. We understand that. And we focus on Christ through His Word. And Christ was not bitter toward His enemies. Christ had the power to call down a legion of angels, tens of thousands of angels, if he wanted to destroy his enemies, but he did not. As they were cursing him, saying, come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. And Christ did not grow in bitterness. Rather, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. From a human standpoint, Christ was a man. Christ had every reason to be bitter. But he is teaching us the way of how Christians should live in this life as they endure persecution, as they endure suffering. So how can we overcome bitterness? Only through the Lord's help, through the power of His Spirit, by remembering Christ, and then also by remembering the great plan of God's sovereignty. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purposes. So we can have victory over bitterness when we remember that God is in control. Man is not in control. God is in control. And though we may not understand the specific reasons God allows certain things, we know that God will help us and grow us through the circumstances that we have endured. So the first three points deal vertically. It deals with our relationship with God. And the following points deal with our relationship with men. We focus on the vertical first because our horizontal relationships will not be right until our vertical relationships with God is right. So how do we deal with bitterness? We deal with it first and foremost before God, and then we move to man. That's the great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor. Love others as yourself. That's the Ten Commandments. It's split in two. Your relationship with God comes first, and then your relationship with man comes second. And so we move now to the specifics of how we can be victorious in dealing with bitterness. Vertically, we overcome bitterness through the Lord's help. We overcome bitterness, Hebrews 12:3, looking to Christ, remembering Christ, and then remembering Romans 8:28. Those three things. Now we can overcome bitterness also if we speak to the one that we are bitter against. Luke 17:3, take heed to yourselves, Jesus says. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Tell him. Speak to him. The most needful thing sometimes to do is sometimes the hardest thing to do. Now, in certain situations, it may not be wise. At a particular time when you're dealing with a lot of hurt, perhaps there may be too much hurt and emotions and you need to be led of the Lord. But if possible, you ought to seek to dwell peaceably with all men. So how do we deal with bitterness? Well, if possible, speak to the one you are bitter against. Leviticus 19:15-18, the law tells us, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. The law is telling us that we have a responsibility if there's problems in our relationship to try to work it out if we can. And the second thing we do is we forgive. So we try to talk and then we forgive. The Bible tells us in Luke 17:3-4, Jesus says, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You're not keeping a notepad full of tally marks to say, all right, you've got two more left. No, Jesus forgives us as much as we go to him and ask for forgiveness. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against another, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And that's our text, Ephesians chapter 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Some remain bitter because they are unwilling to forgive. An unforgiving spirit will destroy our life. Again, the rattlesnake that bites. D.L. Moody says, I firmly believe a great many prayers are not answered because we are not willing to forgive someone. So sometimes bitterness can be the wall in a dam that keeps us from receiving answers to prayer. Colossians 3:19, instructions for husbands. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So these two texts tells us if we're harboring bitterness to the one that we are to love and spend life with, our prayers are going to be hindered. One day, two monks were walking through the countryside. They were on their way to another village to help bring in the crops. As they walked, they spied an old woman sitting at the edge of a river. She was upset because there was no bridge and she could not get across on her own. The first monk kindly offered, saying, "We will carry you across if you would like." "Thank you," she said gratefully, accepting their help. So the two men joined hands, lifted her between them, and carried her across the river. When they got to the other side, they set her down, and she went on her way. After they had walked another mile or so, the second monk began to complain. "Look at my clothes," he said. "They are filthy from carrying that woman across the river. And my back still hurts from lifting her. I can feel it getting stiff." The first monk just smiled and nodded his head. A few more miles up the road, the second monk griped again. "My back is hurting me so badly, and it is all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I cannot go any further because of the pain." The first monk looked down at his partner, now lying on the ground moaning, and said, "Have you wondered why I am not complaining? Your back hurts because you are still carrying the woman. But I set her down 5 miles ago." That is what many of us are like when we deal with those who have hurt us. We are the second monk who cannot let it go. We hold on to the pain of the past, and we hold on to that pain, and we take that pain and we hold it over the heads of our loved ones like clubs, or we remind them every once in a while what they have done and how much they've hurt us. And we want to get the upper hand. We just need to let it go. And if we truly forgive, we will let it go. Charity covers a multitude of sins. So how can we deal with bitterness? Well, if possible, we strive to speak with the one that we are bitter against. We forgive in our hearts. We forgive with our mouths if they've come and ask for forgiveness. And then we love. After you forgive, once reconciliation occurs, we move forward and love. We don't hold on to past offenses. Christ doesn't do that with us. We should not do that to others. Just think if Jesus did that to us. And Jesus could get bitter towards us for how unfaithful we are. His word is so clear. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His church, brothers and sisters in Christ. He's given us full and free salvation. And yet we fail Him, as we looked at Sunday night. Peter's constant failures. His ups, his downs, and his big downs. And Christ didn't say to Peter, "Okay, Peter, you're done. You've reached the limit. I can no longer love you." Jesus doesn't do that with us. We fail, we go to Him, we repent, we confess, He restores us. We fail again, we repent, we confess, He restores us. And what constant love there is in Christ. And those of us who are Christ's people ought to have that same constant love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Who can love like Christ's love? No one apart from Christ. We cannot live the Christian life apart from Christ. So we ask God to love through us. Have you ever asked God to do that? The pastor said, you need to love, you need to forgive, and you try and you fail. Well, perhaps you need to ask God to love the individual through you because you can't do it. It's supernatural. It's not a natural thing that you do by just pulling up your own bootstraps. No, you need the Spirit's help. And then last, as we're seeking to gain victory over bitterness, sometimes it does lead to a need of obtaining godly counsel. It may be that someone needs extra encouragement and extra accountability as they deal with this dragon of bitterness, because it is a dragon, and they need many warriors to help slay this dragon. And God's given us the church for that very reason. As we're seeking to run the race, and we have this weight of bitterness upon us. We need others to come along and encourage us, and help us to point out the weight so we can keep going on for the Lord. And I believe this is why Christians fail. They cut off one of the main sources of help, the local church, other believers, as they're running the race of faith. They neglect the help that is offered them freely by God. They neglect godly counsel. So let's conclude by considering two individuals from Scripture who conquered bitterness. And how can we speak of bitterness without referencing Joseph? Joseph, young Joseph, hated by his brothers. What did Joseph do? He was born. That's what he did. And even that wasn't his choice. Joseph was loved by his father, but Joseph didn't persuade his father to love him. Joseph didn't persuade his father to make him a coat of many colors. That was Jacob's desire. Joseph was just living life. And God gave Joseph a dream. God did choose Joseph. And his brothers set their eyes on Joseph and hated Joseph, despised Joseph, plotted to kill Joseph, but then ended up selling Joseph. And Joseph ended up in a foreign land in Egypt, and he was sold as a slave. And Joseph ended up in Potiphar's household and then falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And this went on for years. And being falsely accused, thrown in jail, and in jail for doing nothing wrong, for being holy, for being righteous, for doing right. There they have the butler and the baker. And Joseph interprets their dreams, and Joseph says, remember me when you are before Pharaoh. Well, the baker dies, and the butler is restored, and the butler forgets Joseph. If anybody had reason to be bitter, surely it was Joseph. Joseph was a man whom the Lord was with. By our reading of the testimony of Joseph, he was a holy, upright young man. And bitterness could have attacked him. I mean, so many leeches of bitterness were on his spiritual body, if you will. And he's just taking them off before they suck out the life of God within him. Also, David. David could have grown bitter. The man after God's own heart. David could have grown bitter toward his brothers. You remember David as he does his father's desire in going to his brothers when they are against the champion of the Philistines, Goliath. And as David approaches serving his brothers, he sees Goliath and he says, gentlemen, this man's blaspheming our God. We need to do something. Is there not a cause? And what do David's brothers say to David? Get out of here, young punk. You don't know what you're doing. You're just a lad. You're a youth. Pride is in your heart, they say. And David continues and fights the champion of the Philistines and defeats him. David could have grown bitter toward his king, Saul. Saul threw spears at David, seeking to kill him. Saul was against David, and he hunted David as a deer. He wanted David dead. What does David do when Saul dies? He doesn't rejoice. He weeps. David could have grown bitter toward his son, Absalom, who also was against David. I mean, your very own son against you and hunting you down as prey. And what did David do when Absalom died? David wept. He did not harbor bitterness. I suppose that's why he's called the man after God's own heart. Because God doesn't harbor bitterness. God could have been bitter against us. But rather, he willfully chose to shower us with his grace. You know, it was our sin that killed the Father's Son. It was our sin that murdered Christ. God could have been bitter. God had every right to hate us. God would have been good and just to destroy us forever. But instead, in Christ, God offers forgiveness. And nobody is worthy of forgiveness. So with that, I say with Paul, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Bruce Goodrich was being initiated into the Cadet Corps at Texas A&M University. One night, Bruce was forced to run until he dropped, but he never got up. Bruce Goodrich died before he even entered college. A short time after the tragedy, Bruce's father wrote this letter to the administration, faculty, student body, and the Corps of Cadets, saying, "I would like to take this opportunity to express the appreciation of my family for the great outpouring of concern and sympathy from Texas A&M University and the college community over the loss of our son, Bruce. We were deeply touched by the tribute paid to him in the battalion. We were particularly pleased to note that his Christian witness did not go unnoticed during his brief time on campus." Mr. Goodrich went on, "I hope it will be some comfort to know that we harbor no ill will in the matter. We know our God makes no mistakes. Bruce had an appointment with his Lord and is now secure in his celestial home. When the question is asked, 'Why did this happen?' perhaps one answer will be, 'So that many will consider where they will spend eternity.'" This father had the right perspective. This father knew God's forgiveness in Christ. He not only knew it mentally, he had it abiding in his heart, and he showed it practically. So he was not only a hearer of God's word, he was a doer of God's word. And I pray that God, by his grace, will help us to be doers of God's word as we battle this dragon of bitterness, and as it comes and haunts us, that we would lay it aside and be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us.